Today's daf is Shkalim daf Yud Zayin. We are on Tez Zayin and Mabez. We'll be starting with the new Mishnah, just two or three Ha'aris, before we get to today's daf. That is number one. We had all the different days yesterday relating to what the Luchos looked like, where the Dibros were. Were there, because in the Torah it just says Aseres HaDibros. So were there, as the Minog of Klal Yisrael is to assume, five and five. Right, that is, even though there are more words in five than in the other, but five and five, Ben Adam Lamako, Ben Adam Lachavero, all the Divrei Torah related to that, or were there 10 and 10, 20 and 20, or 40 and 40. The Radvaz writes in the Tshuva that it's very hard to figure out exactly where all the Divros were according to the opinions that you get to more and more. Was it a cube? Was it on different sides? Was it just Bederach Nes that you could be read see-through but on opposite sides? The Radvaz has a lengthy Tshuva in Chela Gimel trying to figure out exactly what all these opinions represent. But just one or two points that that we can glean from this sugya. One is the Meiri. The Meiri we mentioned in the past, a number of years ago. Meiri is Akdama to Shas. He mentioned this elsewhere also, but in his Akdama to Shas, he has a 35-page Akdama to Brachas. So on page 10, in that Akdama, he says, V'zeh etzli ma'amar hashleimim rabozeinu. This is what I have a Mesara from my Rabbeim, Ba'amram, Al-Zara, Sadibros, Shohayi b'shnei luchos, chamesh b'luach echad v'chamesh b'luach sheni. Five and five. Says the Meiri, I think that there is a message, assuming five and five, that there's a connection between each two that are on the same line. One and six, two and seven, etc. And some of them, he says, are more explicit than others. Anochi keneged lo sirtzach. Anochi is keneged murder. What does Anochi Hashem Elokecha have to do with that? Mimashi yadata. Ki ha'inyan ha'nirmaz ba'anochi hu mitzias Hashem. Recognition that God exists. V'ha'kofer b'mitziuso yomer alav derach ki hu arago. And somebody who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there can basically take the law into his own hands and deny Tzelem Elokim and not worry about any type of Schar V'Onesh. Kitzir ha'eder ha'metzias yechaneh b'lashon al-shem ha'rigah. Okay, he says it on a deeper level, that if you deny an existence, you are killing that existence. So though Sirtzach is the opposite of Emunah, k'mo she'amru ba'atri d'raflaga. Right, achloro as Hashem nitzav alav v'kafer b'metzias kol nivdal. Okay, you can see it on a deeper level, but you can see it on a more partial level, and that is that denying somebody Tzelem Elokim is killing them, and that's the opposite of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Lo hiya l'chol ha'em acherim is very straightforward. Lo sinaf. Throughout Tanakh, we have adultery compared to idolatry. When we leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that is going away from the one that we were supposed to be married to. Ki aznus hu ischalfus tzura im mitzius atzura ha'miyuchadas lo levado. And that's what Znus is, and that's what Niyuf is. Number, that's 2 and 7. 3 and 8, we'll skip for a minute. 4 and 9 is Shabbos, and 8 is Sheker. That also is understandable. Shabbos is 8, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And 8 is Sheker is if we don't give that proper testimony. 6 and 5 and 10, Lo Sachmod and Kibud Avaim. So how do those two fit together? So again, he works at this and suggests a little bit I'm expanding. Lo kibra ve'aim is where I recognize that I'm not the center. I realize that others are needed, that I not everything's for me. I get it from others. So lasach would also is recognizing one's proper place in the greater scheme of things. Ki achem de yechem des amam al chem des hemshach achar ha'tayves, hi rosh lechol midas ha'magunos v'abachusos, and kibra ve'aim is a recognition that there are others involved, and I need others, and that's Shlemus Amidos, to realize that you are not the only one. But then, he says, what about 3 and 8? 3 and 8 seems to be the hardest. 3 and 8 is Lo Sisa and Geneva, not bearing God's name in vain, and stealing. So he says, you might say it means that most people who steal have to then cover it up and deny it, and then lie that they didn't take it. Okay, that's like Shvuas HaPikadon in Parshas Vayikra. But then he suggests, because that's not really a connection between the two, that just means one leads to another. But he says, a little bit deeper, he says, when we act like and looked like B'nai Torah, like Orthodox Jews, and we dress like Orthodox Jews, and we're recognizable, meaning we're bearing God's name on us, because people define us as Ovdei Hashem, people who are consistent and followers of the Torah, and then we go and steal, and then we go and do inappropriate behavior, that is bearing God's name in vain. That is acting in ways that do not befit an Eved Hashem, but we dress and look like an Eved Hashem. Mamash, he says, 700 years ago, he says, O Remez Lamash Adarshu Chazal, Kamosha Amru, Lote Misatif Bitalischa, Vaholech Vagonev. We shouldn't be wrapped up in our talis and tefillin and then go steal. Shalote Meniach Tefillin, Vaholechu Muram Esabrios. Sezeus Nisius Shmo Shalakadish Baruchu Lashav. Unbelievable. That is bearing God's name falsely. Vahu Inyan Geneva, Genevas Halev. That's the Meiri, again paralleling each of the Dibros. Number one. The other point I wanted to mention was at the end of the parak, and that is the last lines of the parak were about Eishdas, that the Torah was given. Reb Pinchas, in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish, says the Torah was given white fire, charusa be'esh shechora, engraved with black fire. Here, esh, and it's surrounded by esh, engraved with esh, v'chulu. The Mabit in Beis Elokim discusses what does this mean, black fire and white fire. In Parachav Hay of Shar HaYesodos, he talks about a number of issues there, how the Torah existed before the world existed. How is that possible? After all, it says in the Torah certain things that happened. So how could that have been done before the Torah? So do you say, okay, it's fine, Hashem knew before it happened, we still have Bechir Chavshis. It relates to that issue, but he says, no, I'd rather go like the Ramban in his Akdamah to Torah, where he says that all of Torah on a deeper level spells out the names of God, called Torah Kula Shmosef Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, says the Ramban, and the Mabit explains it, the Torah did not say, before the world was created, Bereshis, Bara, Elohim, Es, HaShemayim, Ves, Aretz. It was all one connected unit, all the letters, and it could have been read differently. That was in its pristine state. The Torah existed, Istakel, Baraiso, Bara, Alma. Kadosh Baruch Hu had it before the world was created. Once it was given to the world, then Hashem translated it and deciphered it into the words as we have it. That's what he explains from the Malachim, right? The Gemara in Mishach HaShabbos, where the Malachim didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Torah. And they say, no, leave it here. And Hashem says, answer. And Moshe says, okay, it says, Lo Sertzach, does murder apply to you? It says, Yisias Mitzrayim. Did you go out of Mitzrayim? Bechulu. And all the Mepharshim ask, what was their Havamina? Of course it didn't say those things aren't shaykh to the Malachim. So explain the Achronim based on that Ramban. Well, it didn't say that originally. It didn't say those words. But the Malachim were saying, we want it in its pristine state where it spells out the names of God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu are telling the Malachim, no, that's not the ultimate goal of the Torah. That was pre-creation. But right now, once the world exists, there has to be a Pshuto Shomikra. There has to be a way that human beings can understand it and live by it besides the deeper understandings of the Ramban. Okay, that is all background. So then he says, what exactly does it mean, black fire on white fire? So he says, the Efshar Lefarish, Eish Shechora Agabe Eish Levana. Sheyora al shnei inyanim. That's what the black and the white are referring to. These two ways to understand and have the Torah. Harishon inyan shmosav yisparach. V'uaramuz be'esh levana. The white fire. That's the original way that the Torah existed. V'sheni inyan pshat ha-Torah b'mitzvosev azarosev shayasa osam adam v'chai bohem. Hazvezeh ha-olam ha-afel v'ha-shachar. In this dark black world, right, which is darker and bleaker than Shemayim, than in heaven. That's the white fire. It's given white fire and black fire. We're black fire, and upstairs the original Shmosav Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu is white fire. V'huaramuz beis shechara shuotaka de Moshe horas hamitzvahs v'aramazon. U'pirish Shmosav Yisbarach no de la Moshe l'krovim v'chulu. And then he even adds, that could be not just that this world is black and darker, but we're the ink, we're the dyo. And the white fire is the background, it's the cloth. That's the understanding that was there beforehand. Before we start writing a Torah, it's all white. It's all the white, the cloth is white. That was what was given to us, right? You can't understand anything. It's all Kabbalistic, it's all deep. You have to search underneath. Then we put our Torah, the way that we understand it, the black, with the letters. That's what he talks about. Again, he doesn't mention it here, but this also might beautifully fit in to the Gemara Rebbe Chanim and Tradion in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara discusses that when his Talmidim were watching him, Rachman al-Aslan, as he was wrapped in the Torah scroll, and his life was ebbing away, they say, what do you see? He says, I see the letters flying off the cloth. See letters flying off the cloth? He says, only the physical was burning, and not the spiritual. What was going up to Shemayim? So maybe one could suggest that he saw that the Torah is eternal. You're right. Right now, we physically won't be able to follow this cloth of Torah, this Sefer Torah. But the Torah that's going back to Shemayim, in its pristine state that was here even before the world was created. So that exists, that's eternal, and that there's no shlita in this world on. So again, that could also connect, but that's what he suggests. Eish Levana and Eish Shechora. Okay, so now we continue with the next Mishnah. As we continue here in the sixth parak of Shkalim. Keep in mind that Shkalim, this Shavuos that Hashem Shkalim, continues through the eight prakim, right? Eight prakim here in Masechta Shkalim. So here we go. We mentioned in the previous Mishnah on yesterday's daf that on 2 days ago's daf that there were certain hishtachavayos, certain places where they used to bow down in the base of Megiddo. Remember the beginning of the parak, all the 13s, 13 shofaros, 13 tables, and 13 hishtachavayos, places where they used to bow down in the base of Megiddo. And we said others say that there were 14. Where was the extra one? The dir ha'etzim. That's where the kohen once found and realized where the Aron was, even though we saw yesterday that maybe it wasn't there, wasn't in the Dir HaEitzim where the wood was, but it was under the Kodesh Kadashim, right in that spot, different Mesoras. But either way, there were 13 places of Hishtach Havaya. Where were they? Heichan hayu Hishtach Havaya, Sa'elu. So, Arba B'Tzafon, V'Arba B'Darom, Shalosh B'Mizrach, U'Beiz B'Mayrav. They were by the gates of the Azara. There were 13 gates in the Azara, four in the north, four on the south, three on the east, and two on the west. There were 13 gates. Kineged, Shloshas Asharim. The 13 gates. So, here we are. What were the list of the gates of the Azara? Again, these were not the gates of Har Habayis. These were not the gates of Har Habayis. Now, when we go to the Kotel today, and we see the southern excavations, and we see the southern gates that they used to walk in, the Shar Avelim, and the gates that the archaeologists have uncovered, those are the gates of Har Habayis. Right, the Kotel was an outside wall of Har Habayis. The gates described here in the Mishnah are the gates of the Azara. You walk into these gates and you see the Mizbeach, right, and you see the Kior, right, the 13 gates of the Azara. So where were these? So again, 4, 4, 3, and 2. So where were they? Dromiim, so what were the southern ones? Smuchim L'mayrif, so going west to east. West to east, these are the gates. Shar HaElyon, Shar HaDelek. Right, the Delek, where they used to bring the firewood through. Shar HaBechoros, where they used to bring in the Bechoros that were going to be shechted in the south side. Right, Bechor is an example of Kashe Kalim. So it can be on the left, on the south side. Shar HaMayim, and the Shar of Water. V'loma Nikra Shmo Shar HaMayim. Why was it called Shar HaMayim? So, two suggestions. Shebo Machnisin Sloches Shal Nisach HaMayim B'chag. That's where they brought the water in, where they had the whole Nisach HaMayim celebration in the Shiloach, and they brought the water up to do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkis. We know every day in the Beis HaMikdash they did Nisach HaYayin, every single day. They poured water along with the Talmud. But once a year, a week during the year, they had water also, Nisach HaMayim B'chag, so that's the way they brought the water through that gate. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Bo HaMayim Mefachim. In it, there was a trickle of water. So, when was there a trickle of water? Is this even during Bayis Sheni, only during Bayis Rishon? There should be a trickle of water. Either way, it's not clear exactly whether that still existed at the time of Bayis Sheni, but there was a little some water. The asidin lios yotzin mitachas biftan abayis. But in the future, when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a whole river, a lot of water coming out of that gate. Right, again, this was on the southern side, the easternmost gate on the southern side, the southeast gate of the Azara. So that's where this water area was. Good. Lu'umasar Batzafon, opposite them on the north side, Smuchim Amayrif, starting on the west side, Shar Yechanya. Number one, Shar Yechanya. What's Shar Yechanya? We'll see in the Gemara, that's where Yechanya was led out to Galus, right? He was one of the later kings, right? Shar HaKarban, Shar HaNashim, Shar HaShir. Right, the Shar of the Karban. What's the Shar of the Karban? Right, they brought the Karbanos in through there. Right, that's where the room where they kept the Karbanos Tvidim. Right, it's near there, but there must be something deeper. If you look in a rush, there's a rush in Maseches Midos. This Mishnah also appears in Midos. Unbelievable. Says the rush in Midos on the Mishnah Dawid. Yesh Mefarshim, Kishahalach Avraham es Yitzchak Bino, Bahar HaMoria, Holicho Derech Oso Makom Zehasar Sanasa. Obviously, there was no building yet when Avram did the Akedah, but that's where they came through. I guess they had to go around, because they were coming from the south, and they were going up to Hara Moriah. It's like when an airplane comes in sometimes and you're landing, you have to circle around in order to come into on the proper runway. So that's what it sounds like. They were coming from the south, but these are the gates we're talking about are on the north side. So he had to circle around and he came through that gate in order to perform the Akedah. That's the Shar HaKarban. Shar HaKarban says the Rosh in Midos. That's where the Akedah went through. Okay, Shar HaKarban, Shar HaNashim, right, the Shar of Nashim. What do you mean the Nashim? That's where the Nashim went through to be able to bring their karbanos and to do smicha on their karbanos. I saw one of the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in one of his svarim that women don't have to do smicha. So what are they going in? So the answer is that we know. We'll read the Mishnah Bez Hashem soon in Maseches Kalim that when there was a tzorech, even though if there wasn't a chiyuv, if there was a tzorech, then certain even Yisraelim, even women were allowed into the Azara. Right, even though it wasn't mechuyev, right? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, she efshar she tam she anoshim tzvichos lamed al karbanam ukamosh akasav. As it sounds elsewhere, efshar karbano shalom karav u'ena omen al gabav v'yavo b'shein amita la karban ma'akeves ki enena el achibuv mitzvah v'gam efshar adei shliach mikol makom mitzvah bo yozmi b'shlucho lachei nasnu makom lenashim atzvam she yavo lahakrav. They could come into, and that's where the women came into the azara. Through this gate, Shah Hanashim, Shah Hashir, and also Shah Hashir, the Shah that they used to go in to sing. Back to the first one. Why was the northwestern one called the Shah of Yechaniah? Shebo Yatsu Yechaniah Begaluso. That's where Yechaniah later on went out when he was forced into Galus. That's where he went. He went out. And you see, the Tiklun Chatin says Shenichnas LaBeis Hamikdash Sham LeHipater. Before he went into Galus, he went into that gate in order to take leave of Hashem. And then he also went out that shar. The shail is, did Shlomo HaMelech call it Shar Yechaniah? Right, he saw in the future that he was going to have a descendant named Yechaniah that's called it there. So Pasha is the one that called Shar Yechaniah at that point. It was called something else. Right, and then later on, it was called Shar Yechaniah after this occurred. Right? Everybody tries to scramble to figure out exactly, was there a name before this? But it was called Shar Yechaniah, but obviously, Pashas, it wasn't called that beforehand. Continuing, so those, we got the north and the south now. Sheba Mizrach, what about the east side, going into the Azara? So as we know, that's the most famous one. Shar Nicanor, that's where the Nicanor gates were. As we know, the Mishnah and the Gemara expands on it in Maseches Yuma, describing Nicanor, the one who built the special gates in Alexandria, I think it was. And then once he was trying to bring it here, he brought it onto the boat, and the boat was going to capsize. And they threw off one of the doors. He was extremely upset. They were going to throw off the other door. He jumps onto the door and says, "You throw this door, you're throwing me also." Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the Mesiras Nefesh of Nicanor, and he made the storm subside, and Al Derech Neis, different versions, you know, how the other door made it to Eretz Yisrael. Either it was floating next to the boat the whole time, or a fish swallowed it, a la Yonah, and spit it out once they got to Eretz Yisrael. But either way, those doors symbolized Mesiras Nefesh, and therefore, they were very special. And the Gemara even says, even after, later in history, when B'nai Yisrael got very affluent, and they changed all the even non-golden items of the Beis HaMikdash to gold. They never changed these doors. They stayed Nechoshes, they stayed copper, because we wanted to remember the Nes of Nicanor. So those are the Nicanor doors on the east side. Right, those are important doors. That's where certain people who were Tameh stood in those doors. A Mitzora, when he was sprinkled with the oil and the blood, they stood inside those doors. They might have stuck their hands in, because that's coming, that's on the east side. That's coming from the Ezras Nashim. Going from east to west, that's where the most of the public came through those doors in order to get into the Azara. And that door had two little gates next to it. V'shtei pishpishin ha'yulo, echad mimino v'echad mismalo. They were two little ones, that's why they were counted as three, right? Three of them on the east side, two little ones next to the Shar Nicanor. V'shnayim b'marav v'lo ha'ilam shem. And there were two on the west, nameless. They were nameless, the two on the west, and they were nameless. They were always nameless. You look in the Mefarshim on Mishnah, on our Mishnah, says the, find it here, says the Teferis Yisrael and the Tosfos Yontif. The Teferis Yisrael says, Tama, the Beyontif Shein, commenting on Shalohay Elohim Shem, says it to Pharisees, Yisrael, Tama Betos Tzayantif, right? He calls it Tzayantif Tzayantif. V'bayisheni lo hayu klal. If you look in the structure of Bayisheni, as described in Sefer Malachim, we know, as described later on in the Mishnayis in Meseches Midos, as we know, Malachim describes Bayis Rishon, Midos describes Bayis Sheni, and Yecheskel describes Bayis Shlishi, and the Torah describes the Mishkan. Right, those are the four holy houses of ours. The Tosfos Yontif points out that there were no doors in Bayis Sheni. So why is that, why they even said here? So he tries to figure out exactly why it's listed here. He quotes Josephus, Chulu, others. The Tiferes Yisrael quotes his father and says, no, I think the Girsa should be Vishnaim B'mayrev, Shalohayu Lohen Shem. No, there are no Nekudos in the Mishnah. It should be Lohayu Lohen Shem Garsinan. It should be Shem. For Ratzal Omar, Osan Veisharam, Shalohayu B'mikdash Rishon B'mayrev Azara, Lohayu B'bayisheni. They weren't there. There were no doors behind the Kodesh Kadashim in Bayis Sheni. That's where they were, right behind the Kodesh Kadashim. They didn't exist. They used to bow down because of the Zecha that there used to be the Sha'arim there in Bayis Rishon. But he says, that's how you read the Mishnah. So it's two ways in the Achronim. How to understand this Mishnah? V'lo haya lahen shame or v'lo haya lahen sham? Pashas is shame, like the other ones, because the other previous part of the Mishnah is listing off the names of the doors. But here it might be sham, because that's what the Tiferes Yisrael quoted from his father. Okay, says the Gemara, Masnisan Abi Yosa ben Yochanan. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Abi Yosa ben Yochanan, De Amar, Kineged Yud Gibel Sharim, right, who says, 13 gates, 13 bowings down. Biram, Karabanan, Shiva, Sha'arim, Hayu Bazara. But the Rabbanan say, no, really, there were 7 gates. Not 13, 7 gates going into the Azara. There's a Tosfos in Ksubis and Nafkufav, who says, they say that really, maybe they're both right. The 13 gates and 7 major gates, right? So he tries to work out that they really were both right. The question is, how do you understand it? Aldas the Rabbanon, Heichan Hayu Shtachavayos Halalu. According to the Rabbanon, so where were the Shtachavayos? We assume that they don't argue on that. We assume they agree that there were 13, but I guess they weren't connected to the Sha'arim. So what were they connected? Ki hahi de tanin and taman. So it's what's said elsewhere. Yud gimel pratzos hayu bo shepirtzo malcha yavam. They bow down at the 13 pirtzos that the Greeks monarchs, made in the Beis Hamikdash. V'chazru v'gidrum b'nei chashmonai. And the chashmonam closed them back up. V'gazru k'negdon yud gimel ha-shachavayos. And then v'gazru k'negdon, 13 ha-shachavayos. Rav Osai, it's the first day of Kislev. Right, we're talking about Yavan, right? Hashkacha, Rameir Shapiro, centuries ago. Here it is. So 13 Ishtachavayos, connected the 13 places where the Malchus Yavan was broken down. The Shaila is, we know Yavan, fascinatingly, we don't always remember this, Yavan wasn't interested in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Babel destroyed by Yisrishon, Rome destroyed by Yisheni. The whole Galus Yavan, we had a Beis HaMikdash. The entire time. It wasn't Tahar, we weren't Sadikim, but in the entire story of Yavan, the whole story of Chanukah happened during Bayis Sheni. So what was their purpose? What did they do? So they went around and being Metameh. Okay, they made everything Tameh. Correct. But they also made 13 Pirtzes. Where did they make 13 Pirtzes? Doesn't say in the Mishnah. They made it in the Chael. In the Chael, there was a gate around the Azara, including the Ezras Nashim. Around there, if you look in the picture books of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chael was a gate. So why did they want to make the Pirtzes in the gate? So to understand that, you got to do the Mishnayos of who was allowed to go within the Chael. So if you look in the first parak in Meseches Kelim, where we have the 10 levels of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so we have Ezer Kedusha saying, the 10 levels, Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh as we call Aratzos. Eretz Yisrael is more Mekudesh than other lands. And what's his Kedusha? He can bring the Omer and the Bikurim and the Shealechem from there. And then what's the next level in walled cities? Ayaras Avokafas Choma Mimos Yeshua Benun Mekudeshes Bimena. Why? Because Mitzoran have to go out. We've discussed at the beginning of Maseches Megillah, there's a Chasam Sofer, who discusses, why are walled cities so much more Kadosh? Why are they more Kadosh? A walled city? Why does a walled city have Kedusha? So he explains, because a walled city reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory and power. If they were walled and we conquered them, it's much, much harder to conquer a walled city. So the fact that we conquered the walled city at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, so that reminds us more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, like Yericho. More than that, Lefnim Menachom HaMekudosh Mehem. So now, going further in, inside the walls of Yerushalayim. That's the next level of Kedusha, because that's where we can eat Karbanos, Kachet Kalam and Meiser Sheni. Harabayis, more makudosh. Why? Zav zav ani then your leathers can't go in there, right? That's why, right? Bizman hazeh, right? If you go to the that we don't need the paraduma to go onto Har HaBayis, right? I'm not saying to go onto Har HaBayis now or not, right? The big discussion lamaisa whether it's a good idea or not a good idea halachically, forget politically, halachically. I'm not taking a stand on that, but those who go, who say they're going just onto Har HaBayis, so they don't need the paraduma because the tamei mesa doesn't have to stay off of Har HaBayis. The Mishnah says a zav zava and nida and yoledes. You have to go to the mikvah, you have to, but it's, that's who excluded. Next, hachel. Now we get to where words are important for us. The chel, which is right around the azara, is where mekudesh. Who can't go in there? She'em goyim utzmei meis nechlasim l'sham. Non-Jews can't go further in. That's why the Yevanim broke that, broke those walls. They made 13 pirtzes dafki in the chel. Why? Because, what was their point? No, you're no different than us. Well, why were they metame? Because their purpose was to show that there's no God, there's no special hashgacha. You know, you could have your temple, we have our temple, but it's all the same. There's no such thing as ruchnius. What you see in front of you is all that's there. That's why dafka they broke the chel. 13 persons. Why dafka 13? Maybe that's echad. They wanted to break the echad. One could suggest. So anyway, that's why they dafka broke the chel, and that's why we were so geared the persons. We fixed it up. Just by the way, it was Ezra's Nashim, the other, and Ezra's Yisrael, and Ezra's Kohanim, right, that's the first 11 Amos on the east side of the Azara, then the next 11 Amos, the Ezra's Kohanim, then you have on the other west side of the Mizbeach, and then you have the Heichal, and then you have the Kodesh Kedashim, of course. So that is those are the 10 levels of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and the Chashmonaim were Soger, they fixed up the 13 Pirtzas, and in that way, they were able to be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu at each of those 13 parts. Okay, we continue. So now we have about 25 lines relating to the water that was flowing out of this gate, right? The southeast gates, all this water. So we have a lot of psukim that relate to that water. K'siv ha'yihai b'yomahu. Yetzu mayim chayim Yerushalayim. There'll be mayim chayim tani. V'beis kodesh ha'kadoshim ad ha'paroches k'karnei sili v'chili. It's going to start off very, very little, and then it's going to get into a major flow. So coming out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, it's going to be very thin, right? It's like the antennas, the chronos of snails. Min paroches van mizbeach hazav kekarni chagavim. Gets a little bigger, like the chronos of grasshoppers, right? As we know, the Sefer written about Hilchos grasshoppers by the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, karni chagavim. Min mizbeach hazav ad azaros kechut shel shasi. Gets a little thicker, like the thread used for on a loom. Min azaros van miftan abayis kechut shel arev. Even thicker. Mikan ve'eloch kemipi apach. Like the mouth, like the opening of a flask. So it gets thicker as it goes out of the Kodesh Kodashim through that door. K'sev v'hinei ma'yim mefachim in ha'kasef ha'yamanis. B'tzeis ha'ish kadim. Right, it goes to the east. V'kav b'yado v'yamad elef ba'ama. We measured it. V'yavi, and they used a staff to measure it. V'yavi reini b'mayim me'afsayim ad karsula. It was up to the ankles. Right, it's going to get deep. V'yimad elef v'yavi reini b'mayim me'berkayim. Ad berkeah, till the knees. Vayimad elef ayavi reini me masnayim. Ad masnayim, till the hips, until the loins. Mikan ve'elef vayamet elef nachal asher lo uchal la'avar afilu labirnin gadola. Even big boats, in yichol la'avar bo. Even big boats won't be able to pass. It's going to get far and far as it gets out, as it gets out to the Shiloach. As it goes further out, it'll be in a major water source. My taima, v'tzi adir lo yavirenu. Even the mighty boats won't be able to get through. Umifrei ma, why? Kiga'u amayim mei sachu. What's mei sachu? Ma'o mei sachu milashut. Sachu, they won't be able to swim, won't be able to be those such rapids, so much water there that we won't be able to be involved in it. Amar avchuna ba'asrin karo l'shaita shachvana. Based on that pasuk, we call swimming shachvana. Uferes yadav bekirbo kasher yifares hashocha l'shchos. Kadosh Baruch Hu stretches out his hands, meaning his glory is shown in that water like a swimmer stretches out. Ma'olishchos amrav Yosi be'rabibun mayin demismalalin ba'alma. Water that the whole world talks about. The whole world is going to talk about this water, this amazing act of God that we will see by the Shem in the future. Again, do you take all this literally? It sounds pretty literal. You say it's all some type of mashal of da'as of Hashem, ein mayim el Torah, will be a little bit secret in the Kodesh Kodashim, but as it spreads, goes further and further and further out, there'll be more da'as of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there'll be more a recognition of God, like the Rambam at the end of Mishnah Torah, where he talks about kavayim li'ava chasim, it's ein mayim el Torah, like the Gemara says also in Baba Kama, that maybe that's all the mashal. So again, we'll have to wait and see. Sounds like it's literal, because one of the gates of the Azara is named Shar HaMayim. So maybe a little bit, but maybe some of it is symbolic. Ksif, Bayomahu Yiyye Makar Niftach LaBeis Dover LiYashrei Yerushalayim LaChadash LaNida. And it'll be a makar, and there'll be water there for a chatas, the mechatas, the water that you take to mix with the ashes of the paraduma, ulanida, and for anida to be toveles in. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rav Yonasan, mimeis David v'yoshe Yerushalayim k'sherin lanido l'chatas. When it's closer in, from Beis David, right, from Ir David, until in Yerushalayim, close in, then it's still going to be kasher, lanida u'lachatas. Mikan ve'ela, mei ta'aroves hein, then it gets mixed in with other water sources, k'sherin lanido u'psulim l'mechatas. Then it'll still be kosher for nida, because all nida needs is a mikvah, but not kosher for mechatas. Mechatas needs mayim chayim. Spring water, right? A few areas of halacha, not too many, require mayim chayim, like in chukas, mayim chayim al keli. Needs mayim chayim. Also, a zav needs mayim chayim. A few people, not too many, need mayim chayim. Generally, they just need mikvah water, and that's why it'll be good for nida and not for chatas. Amar Blazer, a little different. Mi beis David by Yoshi Yerushalayim k'sherim lanido lachatas. Mikan ve'elach mei katafri so sein. Psul lanida ulachatas. No, it won't be good for nida either as it flows further. Why? Because as we know, a nida could be tovelas in one of two areas. Either zochalin or eshborin. Zochalin means moving water. Water that's supposed to be moving. It has an outside source. It's a spring. It's a river. Something like that, an ocean. So that's called zochalin, moving water, and that's one choice. The other choice is eshborin, like mikvahs that we have today. It's not moving. Eshborin, it's stationary. But the halach is you can't mix and match. You can't have water that is coming from a natural source stable, or you can't have moving water that is rain water. So here, this is katafris. It's sloped water. It's moving, but it really shouldn't be moving. So it's mixing and matching what's allowed for a nida. So even a nida would not be able to use this water because it won't be eshborin and it will be pasul mikvah. Good. We continue. Ksiv ayomer elai hamayim ha'ela hayotzim min ha'galila kadmona. Now we're going to talk about where this water is going to mix in. The water that's going to come out, flowing out of the Beis HaMikdash, is going to mix into all these other water sources. Zeyam shel Samchu, a different water source. V'yardu al Arava, Zeyam shel Tveria. It's going to go up north. Ubo hayama Zeyam HaMelach. It'll go south. El hayama hamutzaim, water that expands, that enlarges. Zeyam HaGadol, that's the Mediterranean. V'loma nikra shmo mutzaim. Why is it called the expanding water? The Yam HaGadol. K'neged shtei pa'amim sheyatza. Two times that it overexpanded. Echad b'dar enosh ve'echad b'dar aflaga. Two times that the water expanded in its history. There's a Meshach Chachman in Zos HaBracha that discusses, that parallels maybe these two deos, or these two times, is why Yam HaGadol is a machlokas. What bracha do you say? Baruch she'asase Yam HaGadol or Osa Ma'ase Breishis? So it is from Ma'ase Breishis, but it's not exactly how it was in Ma'ase Breishis. So is it appropriate to say Ose Maase Breishis, right? A similar idea we mentioned from the Abu Dram in the past. And that is, in Hilchos Brachos, why the Abu Dram says we say a shahakol on meat, or on chicken. So says the Abu Dram, because by everything else, borei name is on us, borei priyadama, because these items were created for this purpose. Apples and oranges and bananas. I don't know, somebody asked me yesterday, did Hashem create grapefruit during Maase Breishis? I said, yes, right? So, I mean, it's not unless it's, you have certain type of kilayim type of fruit, maybe Hashem didn't create. But everything was Ma'aseh Breishis. See, we could say borei, but meat wasn't originally supposed to be eaten by Adam. That's why you can't say borei when it comes to eating animals. That's why you say shakol ni'eb devaro, because it's not appropriate to use lashon borei. Say here too, sha'asaseyam agadol osa Ma'aseh Breishis. It might not be this exact same form as it was then. That's what he connects to this chazal. Rebbe Lezer, b'shem Rebbe Chanina. Barishona yatsa ad kalbira'a u'bishriya yatsa ad kipe barbaria. Different suggestions what these places are. The Mediterranean spreading west, right, going towards the European countries. Rebbe Acha, b'shem Rebbe Chanina, barishona yatsa ad kipe barbaria. The Barbary coast. U'bishriya yatsa ad Akko, ad Yafo. Maybe we also went up north or south. Right, we say, what do you mean? Yafo is right there in the middle. What's it talking about? It means it expanded. We darshan. Ad po tavo veloso sif. Ad Akko, tavo veloso sif. Upo yashis, bigaon galecha. Ad yafo ashis gon galecha. So we darshan. So says the Gemara. One second. This is wonderful, sweet, delicious water coming out of the Beis HaMikdash. Nicha yama rabba v'yama demilcha bishvala miskan. I understand why these other water sources needed that water to flow into it. The Yama Melach is pretty salty. And the Yamatichon, the Mediterranean, is also Yamatetzferia, Yamatesamchu. They don't need this water to make it sweet, right? It's delicious, right? The water in the Kinneret. So Larabos Dagasam. No, it still gives them more fish. Tchsev be luminat yed dagasam, lumine minim tihye dagasam. Okay, and it helps. Different waters coming together bring different types of fish. Weiter. Tani, Amar, Shung, Abliya, Maisa, Shalachti, Lissaidon, Ve, Viulafana, Yoser, Mishlosh, Meos, Mine, Dogim, Tamchu, Yachod. They brought me more than 300 types of fish. 300 types of fish they brought me. It's a lot of fish. Maybe we'll talk about fish in a minute. Let's just finish the water discussion. Venirpu, two psukim that referred to this water. Venirpu, Amayim, one pasuk says, it gets sweet. It's healed. It's sweetened. Bitzosa v'gaba of alo yirafu. But then it says it's mud, it's swamp, and it's pools, and it doesn't get sweet. La melach nitanu. So ksiv v'nirpu amayim v'at amit v'lo yirafu amayim. Which is it? So the Gemara says makamu shmo v'lo yirafu. No, really, it is v'nirpu amayim. There's just a place of v'lo yirafu, and that place the water won't sweeten that place. But really, all the other areas that the water touches, it will. Ksiv, going back. On the sides of this water source that's coming out of the base of Migdash, there will be luscious orchards that will sprout out on either side. What does that last phrase mean? To its months it will ripen. Tani, Amar Bihuda, Lafisha Bola Mazet Tfua Osa Lashisha Chadashim, V'ilan Osa Lashne Masar, it takes grain every 6 months. Every 6 months to ripen, and for fruit is once a year. It'll still be the same ratio, but it'll be much shorter. Right, fruit every 2 months. You'll have another time to pick, and tfuah is only 1 month. My time, right? That's plural. To its months, yivaker. That's fruit, so tfuah will be half that. Because that's the normal ratio. Amar Rabbi Yossi, a little different. Because of that ratio, no, tefuah will be 2 weeks. It'll be 1 month. Why? Because after all, it's in the future, it's going to be as good as it was, at least, in the times of Yoel. In the time of Yoel, right, one of the trails are, when there was a tremendous famine, and it didn't rain already, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it didn't rain. And then all of a sudden, Hashem made it rain as much as it normally rains in 2 weeks. Why did it have to rain in 2 weeks? Because they had to bring the Omer, by Tesvav Nisan. So that's why it had to rain from Rosh Chodesh Nisan in 2 weeks. B'yimei Yoel, l'chamisha asar yom, v'karbim ena ha'omer. So you see from there, it took 2 weeks. So that's what's going to be in the future, 2 weeks and a month. All in the first month. All in Nisan. So what does he do with that pasuk? Doesn't that pasuk mean months plural? No, it means in each month it will produce. That's what it's referring to. Period. Last section. And its leaves will have healing power. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tarpei Meitzitz Aleha Usraf Mizona. A person could just suck out the leaves and they'll be nourished. That's what's going to be from these leaves. Rav Shmuel Chan Amar Lahatir Peshalamalan. Some say that it'll be matir. It'll open up the above peh. It'll help a person in terms of the Tikkun Chazan says Lativus Hamachal. It'll help satiate you. The Pashtus V'Chan Amar Lahatir Peshalamatan. People who have trouble either having children. Right, it'll be an amazing medicine for that, or it means somebody who is closed up, and it'll help them open in order to allow their waste to leave. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Chad Amar Lahatir Pe'akros, in terms of Akaros, this week's Parsha, Rachel Leah, the Chad Amar Lahatir Pe'ilman, right, and allow those who are mute be able to speak. Period. That is all our water discussion, the South Gate, the Shar Hamayim. Just one comment about fish. We mentioned in the past, a discussion of fish, we know fish have the two simanim, right? Fins and scales. Fins and scales. There was a discussion in the Achronim whether we call those, they are simanim, but whether lumdus, they are siman or siba. Do those simanim cause the fact that these are tahar fish, or are they reflections that they are tahar fish? This reflects that it is a kosher fish. But lu yitzuyer, let's say I would know it's a kosher fish from a different source, then you wouldn't need this. Right? We have that discussion in many plane, many times. Siman or Siba. Rabbi Chanan on the first page of Psachim says, three stars at night. Does that cause it to be night? Or is that a reflection that it's night? Two simanim, two hairs of godless for a child. Does that cause the godless? Or is that a reflection of godless? So you have this in a number of places. So do you have it by fish. The Nafkamina is, some of the Akronim, there's a chew of the Kenyan Torah, and others point out, if we can, as they are doing, genetically create some type of fish that comes from kosher fish sources. But in order to make it more delectable, in order to make it more delicious, you make it without scales. So is that going to be a kosher fish? They're going to create it. Hayotze min atar tar. They're going to take it from whatever the cells, whatever it is, from a kosher fish. So is it a kosher fish or not? It doesn't have scales. It never had scales. But maybe we say it's siman. If it's siman, then you know this is kosher. You don't need them. What do you say? No, it's siba, and you require them. Either way, in this Kenyan Torah, the Kenyan Torah says that maybe, in any case, it won't be good because you need a mesorah for fish. Like you need a mesorah for birds, you need a mesorah for fish because you only have the simanim, so maybe there you would not be able to do it. But either way, it's a discussion relating to fish. Again, there's a lot more here. We can speak about the Karban Omer and the Isser of Chadash in 2 weeks, the different reasons, how there are many that are makel on the Isser of Chadash, but not for now. We continue. Says the Gemara, Ulu Masan Batzafon, and opposite them Batzafon, Bechulu. So now we're in the North Gate. At Motse, B'shosh, Allah Nebuchadnezzar Lakan, when Nebuchadnezzar came, right, Bayis Rishon, and he came there, Bavi Yashavlo, Batofri Shalan Tuchya. He was up north. V'yatza Sanhedrin Gadol, the Krasso, and the Sanhedrin went to him to try to plead their case. V'yamrlo, he giyaz mana Bayis Azeli Chariv. You're going to destroy the base of Migdash. What's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar? Amar lohen, ososhim lachti aleichem, tenuli vaniholech. Bring me the one that I appointed. We know at the end of Sefer Malachim, he appoints certain leaders. Ultimately, he appointed Gedaliah, who was assassinated. Right, that was the last straw. Right, I'll leave. Bova amru lo Yehoyachin melech Yehuda. Right, they came to Yehoyachin, who was appointed. Nebuchadnezzar boy lecha, Nebuchadnezzar wants you. Kivan sheshama mehen kach. Once he heard that, he says, okay, this is the end. So we have this story, where there's a different version of this story in the Bavli. But this is the version here. Natal maftechol shel Beis HaMikdash. He took the keys to the Beis HaMikdash. Olo legago shel heichal. He went up to the roof. Amar lefan everybonu shel olam l'sha'avar ha'yinu ne'emanem l'chav. We were true to you. V'hayu maftechosecha misurin lanu. We were true and we had your keys. Achshav she'enu anu ne'emanim harei maftechosecha misurin l'cha. We're giving the keys back. Interesting, in the Bavli it says the Kohanim threw up the keys. Here it says the king. Right, the king had the keys. There's a Gemara that also said that Shlomo HaMelech had the keys. Right, there's a Medrash, and one time he overslept, and then they couldn't bring the Karban Tumah that morning until late. Right, so the kings also had the keys. Trina Moran, Chad Amar Zarkan Va'od Lo Yardu. One opinion says he threw them up, and they never came down. The Chad Amar Ba'a Kimin Yad V'Natlasan Miyado. A hand came out of Shemayim and took it. Interesting to think what that machloka is about. Whether it just didn't come down, or a hand came down to get it. Imo Anochi Bitsara. Kivan Shiro Kol Chore Yehuda, says everybody else from Yehuda saw this cane. All of the Rosh Gago Seyen, Vinaflu Vamesu. They went up and they committed suicide. They jumped off the roof. This is the base of Migdash. This is what's going to happen. It's all over. Hadahu Dechsev, and this is what's referred to. Masa Gechi Zayon, the vision of the that was seen by Yeshayahu. Malacha Efo, Ki Alita Kulach Legagos, Teshuos Malaya Ir, Homaya, the whole city is full of confusions. That's the allusion to that terrible, tragic story. We know suicide is an issa d'araisa. If somebody tries to commit suicide, the chayim misa, which you have to say it's only if somebody didn't succeed. But if they didn't succeed, they didn't actually commit. But there's a medrash that says, lo tirtzach, lo tisratzeach. It's included, either that's the source, there's a pasuk in Parshas Noach. Either way, there's an issa d'araisa of committing suicide based on the fact that our bodies are not our own. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge. Right, there's a beautiful Radvaz in Sanhedrin, in the end of Perak Yud Ches of Hilchas Sanhedrin. The Radvaz there is discussing why, if somebody comes to Beis Din and says, hi, I was Mechalel Shabbos, please kill me. Or, I ate Treif, please give me Malkus. We throw him out of court, we don't punish him. Ein Adam Meisa Masba Rasha, a person can't be punished based on his own word. Why? Because the Rambam explains, maybe he's somebody who just wants to be punished. He's a masochist, he likes pain, he likes to... So he can't, and it's his body is not his. The Radvaz is Lashon.
Hilkach lo toil hoda aso bedavar sheinu shalom. It's not going to help. Umalkus palgu demisahi. Avu mamonu shalo. Your money, you're right, everything is Hashem's also, but hodos pal din kibay edem dami. You could say, you could be modeh and you have to give your money, but when it comes to anything with your body, we're not in charge, the Radva says. If other edem come, okay, they're acting on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not otherwise. So we're not allowed to do this. There is the big discussion, not for now, about all of the suicides in Tanakh. We know there are four suicides in Tanakh. We've mentioned this hour in the past. Four suicides in Tanakh, which parallel the Dalad Mises Bezdin. Skilas Reifa Harakhenach. Right, and the one that's talked about at most is Shaul HaMelech. Because there are two different versions of the story of Shaul HaMelech. Right, Shmuel Aleph. Excuse me, then Shmuel Aleph became Shmuel Beis. Right, did he commit suicide? Did he roll over on his own sword? Did the Nara Maleki kill him? But either way, if he did commit suicide, the Rishonim discussed, the Radak and others, was it appropriate? Is there an allowance ever to prevent Chil Hashem? He didn't want his body to be taken by the enemy and tremendous Chil Hashem. So is there any heterim for that? Right here, they jumped off. Right, there were other stories about Churban HaBayis. There's a tragic story in Maseches Gittin, a bunch of children. Right, the whole Masada story. Right, so the which is obviously post Talmudic. But the question are there any heterims? There's a big discussion in the literature relating to this tragic issue. Okay, we continue though. Says the Mishnah. Yud Gimel, we spoke about the 13 bowings down. Yud Gimel Shulchano, Sayyid Mikdash. There were 13 tables. Cheshel, Shayez, Beis Mitvachayim, Shalem, Adich, and Zakarbayim. They had 8 that they used to wash off the innards. After they did Shechita, they put the innards on these marble tables that kept cool. That's why they used marble tables, in order to wash off the innards. Ubeis B'mayrav, and there were 2 on the west side. B'mayrav, Akevesh, on the west side of the ramp. Right, the ramp went north-south. The west side, Echad Shal Shayis v'Echad Shal Kesef. 1 marble, 1 silver. Ashal Shayis, notes it as a varim. On the marble one, they put the limbs of the carbonos. V'Al Shal Kesef, Klisharis. The marble one, they put the limbs so it wouldn't start stinking. It kept cold. And the silver one had the kalim that the Kohanim were going to use every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Ubeiz ba'ulam, and there were 2 inside the ulam. The ulam was the antechamber, going from the Azara into the Heichal. 2 on the ibulam mibifnim al pesach habayis. Achad shal shayis v'achad shal zav. The shayis and the zav. Al shal shayis notzen lechem apanim biknisa so. On the way in and on the way out. First, they're bringing the new lechem apanim in. So they put the new ones on the lechem, on the shayish one on the way in. Val shal zav v'yisiyaso. And on the golden one on the way out, after they took the old ones off. Why? Shemalim bakodesh v'lo maridin. Because the shulchan that we call the shulchan is gold. So you have to put it on another gold table on the way out to cool off. Echad shel zav mibifnim, and then the real shulchan was all the way in the heichal. Shalav lechem apanim tamid. As we know, that was all the way on the one on the inside. The Minchas Chinuch has a kasha that he said he's had for years. The forms that they used to bake on were also made out of gold. So isn't that already a violation of Malin Bakodesh v'lo Moridin? They use gold for the forms that they bake them. Then they take it out and they put it on the marble. And then Malin Bakodesh, once it's on gold, you can't go lower. So you see, he's a lot of difficulty explaining why it's not a violation, because it's baked. He has to say, maybe it's not niskadesh like a klisharis yet while it's baked. And that's why it doesn't have the status yet of lechem aponim, so it's okay. So that's what he has to say. But he says, he says my question is better than my answer. Right? I think that it's difficult to understand why it's not a violation of Malin Bakodesh in this case. Okay, there are other answers given to that question. The Or HaMeir says maybe Be'emtza HaMitzvah, you don't have to worry about Malin Bakodesh. Right, because you're going to end up on the gold after. So maybe Be'emtza HaMitzvah. Either way, that's the Minchas Chinuch kasha. We continue. Tani Al Shel Kesef. Right, so we learned there were some that were silver. Reb Yosi b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Reb Yitzchak, Reb Chanani matiba mishum Reb Yochanan. Less kanshal kesef mibnei shehu martiach. None of silver, because that would keep it warm. You want it to be cold. You want it to be marble. Lo kein tani. But 1 second, what do you have to worry about becoming bad? You're worried about putting it on silver because it's going to go bad. What about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Ze echem and anisim shenasim beis hamikdash. Shekeshem shahayim anichan oso chom. Kach hayim osin oso chom. Shenemar lasum lechem cha biyom yilacho. One of the nisim that occurred was the lechem upon him stayed fresh for a week. There were no Ziploc bags then. And it was out in the open and it stayed fresh. So what are we worried about? You saw in the lechem aponim stayed fresh, so why don't we just put it on the hot tables and there'll be a nace? The answer is, Reb Shimon ben Levi Omar, ain't maskir and maisa nisim. Ain't somchen al nace. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do a nace, he can. He told us to put the bread on the shulchan. So he put it on the shulchan. So he does it, he keeps it fresh. But now we're involved in it, we can't rely on nisim. That is the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Again, the question is asked. Maybe we'll start with this tomorrow because we don't have time right now. The Radvaz has a fascinating tshuva. So how did Eliyahu HaNavi go make that child alive again? If he was a Kohen, ain't som chanal anes that he would come back alive again? So we'll start with that tomorrow. But first, let's continue. Are you allowed to daven for an ace? It's also a big discussion. Chanukah time. If you forget Alanisim, what do you say at the end? Harachamanu yasalanu nisim kasher asilu asinu yamazen. You put an Alanisim at the end. We had a shir about that a couple of years ago. Maybe we'll do it again, a daf be'ian shir, about davening for nisim. But it relates to this line. Bon kumi rebi ila lo hayasham lechem al lanichu l'shabbos haba. Question what this is, but we'll go with the pshat of, if you don't have more lechem apanim, could you leave the lechem apanim from 1 week for the next week? Armalon ksiv v'nasad al shulchan lechem panim l'fanai tamid. Lechem panim, the graz girsa, afiluhu kama yamim. Yes, you can leave it there, period. Asar shulchanos asa shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 shulchanos. Besides the one of the lechem apanim, he made 10. Why? The Meshech Chachma says, ratio-wise, the Bayis Rishon was so much bigger than the Mishkan, so he needed 10 menoros, because you have to light the area, and once you need 10 menoros, you have to always put the menorah nochach ha-shulchan. That's why you needed more shulchanos. That's the Meshech Chachma at the beginning of Tetzaveh, why you needed these. Tichziv, v'yash shulchanos ha-sarav ha-yonach behechal, chamisha miyamin v'chamisha v'smol. In temer chamisha v'dorim v'chamisha v'tzafon, if you say the 10 were 5 on the north, 5 on the south, that does not, doesn't work. V'halo ein ha-shulchan kasher el b'tzafon. Shenemar v'etz ha-shulchan titen al tzal ha-tzafon. All tables have to be on the north. Matam alomer chamisha, miyamin v'chamisha v'smol, el chamisha miyamin shulchano shal Moshe v'chamisha mismolo. They were all on the north side. They were just, had Moshe's in the middle. But they only used Moshe's. Others were just there for show. No, they used all of them. Does this mean now? Once, does this mean they alternated? Okay, we'll have to stop here. But Hashem, we'll start off with that Radvaz tomorrow. And maybe we'll talk about the mitzvah of Lechem Apanim itself. Fascinating discussions that we have to have. Hashem, we will continue.